Unreliable socioeconomic and political practices have jeopardized our society. In the face of these affairs, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, information remains the deal breaker. Foundation Radio, in its strive to remain the voice of the voiceless, has embarked on the incisive investigative reporting and analysis to reshape our society and give it a moral face. Join our reporters in the news magazine program News Extra, a one-hour news production intended to uncover striking societal concerns and demystify them. Get the deepest understanding about your economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra on Foundation Radio every Saturday from 7 to 8:30 a.m. Foundation Radio. Our society has been wrecked by economic improprieties, political maneuvers, moral decadence, and debasing sociocultural practices. In the face of these vices, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, constructive information remains the deal breaker. Join our formidable team of reporters on News Extra with incisive investigative reporting and analysis tailored to reshape our society and give it a moral face. News Extra is a production of the news service of Foundation Radio that uncovers striking societal concerns and demystifies them. Get the deepest understanding about economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra, your window to constructive criticism. Foundation Radio.
Welcome to this week's edition of News Extra on Foundation Radio, FM 100, Bamenda, Cameroon. As the program appellation indicates, News Extra goes beyond the ordinary news to interviews, commentaries, and analysis of events in Cameroon. You also get star human interest stories. In this edition, why on earth would a 10-year-old boy who supposedly should be in school be doing in a salon learning to be a hairdresser? Doctors say epilepsy is a natural disease. Most Cameroonians believe, however, it is caused by witchcraft. But why is the treatment of epilepsy or fainting fits so difficult? These are just some of the issues we shall be examining, thanks to contributions from Priscilla Ninge, Lem Sandra Fomojang, Christopher Fogwe, Atanga Atanasios, and Lazar Vela. At the technical control, we have Bayeri Waters and Tendong Julius. For presentation, I am Mokun Johnny Nelson. What do Cameroonians want from their president, Paul Biya? He keeps on winning his elections for 33 years, and Cameroonians accuse him of always rigging. The opposition cannot form a united front, and Mr. Biya is accused of being the brain master. Mr. Biya is chastised for not reshuffling a moribund and unproductive cabinet, and when he finally does that, he is accused of appointing the same old faces of old men and women. What do Cameroonians want from their president? we are attacked by a terrorist group, Boko Haram, and Mr. Biya is accused of inertia when he goes on an important trip to France and finally declares outright war to defeat Boko Haram. Same Cameroonians indict him for provoking the Boko Haram. Even when they still blame him for not doing enough, he quietly negotiates and wins an American jackpot. The United States government extraordinarily agrees to send 300 of its specialized military men to support the fight. And once more, Cameroonians are accusing Mr. Biya of having not consulted parliament and selling the country's sovereignty to a foreign land. These same Cameroonians who have been blaming some Western democracies and particularly the United States for not putting enough pressure on Mr. Biya for more democratic reforms in this country. What do Cameroonians want from their president, therefore? Familiarity, it is said, breeds contempt. I guess they have been so used to him these 33 years that his actions have become routine and of no moment. This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. It is time we are reminded of some of the major news happenings during the week. Priscilla Nyinge in our week in retrospect.
In the region, the week began with a pledge from authorities of Donga Mantung Division to stamp out societal ills such as violence, prostitution, armed robbery, and indecency, just to name a few. This was during the launch of the Campaign on Civic Education and National Integration at the divisional headquarters in Kambe. The Minister of Sports and Physical Education, Pierre Ishmael Bidumpact, also presided badges of the National Center of Youth and Sports, Senegers Bamenda. The Security and Administrative Coordination Meeting for MESAM was also part of this week's newsmaking event. The meeting that held at the Bamenda 2 Council Chambers had at the forefront the security of the division, the state of roads in Bamenda, and the water crisis within the Bamenda municipality. The burial of one of the pioneer journalists, Alfredo Cameron, Henry Neba Fabs, also took place at his native Bafut village. On the national scene, the Cameroon Railway Corporation increased its engines with 9 new locomotives to improve on the capacity of the country's lone railway company and also to reduce delays, wait, and decay of crops at train stations. The former general manager of Sonora, Charles Matuk, was also slammed a 15-year jail term for embezzlement as well as an order to pay 108 million CFA francs to government alongside another co-accused, Edin Gele. Two others were discharged. Still in the course of the week, the families of the 76 Cameroonians who lost their lives in a stampede while on pilgrimage to Saudi Arabia were called upon to exercise patience and resilience as a search for more family members unaccounted for. The 18th session of the National Labour Consultation Committee also had deliberations on the improvement of the working conditions of workers as well as the conditions and careful examination of candidates who were vying to be labor committee heads and staff representatives. Also making news this week was the African Human Rights Institution for the 10th Biennial Conference on the Prevention of Torture in Cameroon. The second International Congress on Nursery Education also held with focus on environmental education as a necessity. The theme was environmental education for the necessary right from the nursery schools. An inter-religious memorial service also held this week at the Yaoundé Multipurpose Complex in honor of the 76 Cameroonians who died in a stampede during their pilgrimage to Mecca. Meanwhile, victims of the recent canoe incident that left 11 people dead at the River Lagoon of the Mayo Dana Division of the Far North Region received financial assistance as well as food supplies from the head of state, President Paul Biya. Out of the country, a Nigerian military court sentenced General Eriten Ransom Kuti a 6-month jail term for his involvement in one of the army's worst defeats by Boko Haram. Guinea's incumbent president, Alpha Condé, won a second term in office. The main opposition candidate, Salo Diallo, denounced the vote as fraudulent. Police in Congo Brazzaville, on their part, fired 2 shots as part of a clampdown mission on the president's third-term bid. A drug was also discovered that showed that there was a drug-resistant malaria parasite in East Asia that can infect mosquito species in Africa. In South Africa, the wife of a Danish man who was accused by South African police of mutilating women and storing their genital parts in a fridge was shot dead. She was a key witness in the case against her husband. A teacher and pupil were also killed by a marksman in a school in Sweden. In sport, Nigeria's coach Sunday Oliseh expressed shock at the decision of Emmanuel Emenike to retire from the Super Eagles. The South African and Zimbabwean female football teams also qualified for the 2016 Rio Olympic Games. Those are some of the major events that made news this week.
Thank you very much, Priscilla Ninge. Many African countries are yet to ratify most of the international human rights instruments. To this effect, the disregard for most of these existing human rights instruments abounds, especially on the African continent. This even within the countries that have ratified these legal instruments. Torture remains one of the prominent ways through which human rights are abused and cut across the entire African continent. It may be for this reason that human rights experts from some African countries met in Yaoundé recently to come up with concrete proposals on how torture could be prevented and prohibited. Lanza Vela now vividly examines the situation of human rights in Cameroon.
The reports of the United Nations institutions as well as the U.S. State Department in Cameroon are extremely critical on the human rights situation in Cameroon. And even though there are international legal instruments for the protection of human rights abuses are still widespread in Africa and in Cameroon in particular. According to the president of the National Commission on Human Rights and Freedom some years back, the government of Cameroon really wants to promote human rights, but this does not mean that human rights situation is fine. The situation remains bad, and problematic areas are the rights of detained persons and the frequent use of torture. It is against this backdrop that human rights institutions in Africa converged on Yaoundé during the week for their 10th biennial conference on the prevention and prohibition of torture in the continent. And as concerns the perpetrators of torture, law enforcement officers are on the bad side of history. It has been firmly established that in our prisons, accused persons are severely tortured as a way of extracting evidence, and the torture intensifies even when this malicious process seems futile. One other domain in which torture is perpetrated in our country is in the fight against terrorism. According to a recent U.S. State Department report on human rights, Cameroon's armed forces fighting the Boko Haram were violating the rights of the terrorists, even though this allegation was ruled unfounded and exaggerated by a government spokesperson. Prison conditions in Cameroon remain harsh and life-threatening due to gross overcrowding and inadequate food, sanitary conditions, and medical care. Officials hold prisoners in dilapidated colonial-era prisons where the number of inmates is as much as 4 to 5 times the intended capacity. Even though corporal punishment has been abolished in most schools, most teachers in some of our schools still believe that the only language of discipline pupils or students will understand better is that of proper beating. And in most homes, parents wouldn't spare the rod any time a child fails to do house chores. Mostly in our rural settings, old persons, especially women, suffer abundant torture since they are often considered as witches. Some of them are even lynched in a bit, compelling them to confess of sins they did not even commit. These are just some of the ways in which people experience torture in Cameroon. We just can hope that proper proposals were made by experts at the conference and that this will help in the prevention and prohibition of torture in Cameroon and in Africa at large.
Everybody seems to be involved, Lanza Vela. Life may have been better and much more comfortable with the rains, as it helped in the growing of crops and food production, supplied water for indoor and outdoor activities, kept the environment clean, and many others. However, with the approach of the dry season, we may have a different story to tell. Things can never be really the same again, but we are bound to accept the change and live with it. The challenges of this transition caught the attention of Lem Sandra Fomujang.
Many months came and eventually are going, if not gone already, since we had the rains and very wet conditions. It was a period when a lot of activities were carried out, especially for farmers of the Northwest region who did lots of work as they benefited from the rains that helped them yield a lot of food crops both for home consumption and for the markets. A lot of persons, if not all, even could testify from the much help they got from the rains as it supplied them with so much water for indoor and outdoor activities, specifically for the inhabitants of Bamenda who suffered a lot from water crisis. Life was better and much more comfortable given that the rains helped in keeping our environment neat by preventing dust pollution on the streets and in our homes, as it reduced the act of constantly cleaning and dusting. Those with allergies felt relieved as they hardly complained of cough or catarrh, and others after inhaling a lot of dust. With benefits of this rainy season, it also had its disadvantages and ills through the so many floods, road destructions, and landslides it caused. These rendered movement difficult as well as others homeless. You will testify, a good example being the bad roads of Babaju that made movement hell for so many who were coming in or going out of the town of Bamenda. Another example is the flood situations that occurred in some quarters in Bamenda and Baba that rendered so many homeless. There was even an incident of a three-year-old child who drowned as a result of these floods. However, we can say, being a natural occurrence, the rain was simply playing its part. With the gradual change, we can all testify to our gradual transition into the dry season. Rains are not frequent anymore. Burning and crushing sun, appearance of dust, and most significantly, the presence of dragonflies, termites, and other insects that usually are seen during the dry season. Reptiles are most commonly seen now, especially snakes. We are also experiencing general body weakness. All these are indications of the dry season. Some persons might prefer this season due to less risk of rain destructions, lightning storms that usually destroy our electrical appliances, and even the fact that heavy rains most times spoil or delay our events and ceremonies. With all these, the question still remains that, how prepared are we to face the dry season? What are some of those things we should do to ensure good health at this period? It is so obvious that a good number of persons have and are still experiencing changes in their body systems as a result of this transition. This comes through colds, fevers, changes in our body textures and colors, and various kinds of stomach and body complications. What is very important is taking various measures to ensure we stay healthy. Doing medical checks, keeping ourselves so warm, very neat, and eating fruits and vegetables, as well as drink lots of water. Our mode of dressing will also change from wearing very thick and covered clothes to lighter and more exposed dresses. Due to this change, business persons have also changed their brand of sales just to suit their transition. Get this reaction.
I just want to get your impression, given that it's a transition and the transition is really drastic. So how do you feel about this change?
Well, all of us should accept the change because that is a phenomenon in life. We have to accept change because after the rainy season comes the dry season, and this is the approach of the dry season, and it is really harsh the way I'm seeing it because the sun is too hot and we are noticing a lot of changes around. People are sick, and then just the vegetation around is also fast changing because of our normal climate change. But as human beings, we should accept it.
Okay, and yes. How are you prepared? Because, you know, at a period like this, many people get sick and you have many other physical changes. So how are you personally prepared to face the dry season?
I am somebody who is always ready.
Okay.
For those changes, I don't like the dry season, but I must like it because I cannot avoid it. Mm-hmm. One, in the sense like, one of my occupations is farm work. I am feeling bad because my corn that I planted around mid-August is tasseling. So I'm afraid that maybe if the rains cease so hard, I might not have a good yield. That is one of my fears. Next is that, like farmers, we should start getting ready for the preparation for the next working. Like now, most women are about to prepare farm work for farms for their yam planting. Okay. So they are ready. But as concerns health, let us, like individuals, struggle to prevent those things that can keep us sick. Yes, in this season.
Okay, like what are some of the things you think that we can do to, you know, prevent falling sick?
Yes, like this period of transition, malaria is always the main problem. So if some mothers can struggle to give prophylactic treatment to their children, it will be better.
It is actually a natural phenomenon, and we just have to be used to it and accept the change.
It is a continuous and an everlasting cycle. Epilepsy or fainting fit is very common in Cameroon, with the Northwest region being one of the three most affected areas in the country. Is it a normal illness, or is it caused by some supernatural, unexplained reasons or witchcraft, as some claim? Get it in this vox pop.
Well, first, I know that epilepsy is just like any other disease. But as an African, we will not refuse the fact that witchcraft do exist. So probably some parents and some persons use the traditional medicines to probably give epilepsy to some persons. So there are two kinds of epilepsy, to my own knowledge, to the best of my knowledge. There's a one that's a natural epilepsy, and then there's a one that is probably a curse or something done by somebody in the village.
I think that epilepsy is something that is natural. It's not by witchcraft. You see, many people are born with several medical conditions, and I believe that epilepsy is just one of those medical conditions. Even though I don't know much about epilepsy, but I know that when you are, as a human system, your human anatomy has some certain aspects that when it does not function well, it can lead to some certain kind of things like that. So epilepsy to me is not any form of witchcraft. It's just a medical condition. Because there are people who have willfully walked out of epilepsy. There are people who have been cheated of epilepsy. It might be something complex, something difficult. It's just like telling a child that you have a cardiac problem when a child is small. That is not witchcraft. Mm-hmm. It's a medical condition. And so epilepsy to me is just another kind of medical condition.
Okay, I know about epilepsy, and I think it's generic. That's if your parents or your grandparents had it, you maybe have it. Yes.
So it's not witchcraft.
No, I don't think it's witchcraft.
I think epilepsy is a natural disease, but it is unfortunate that some people have actually mystified epilepsy, and it's a good thing that government is coming to their aid with free drugs.
I think epilepsy, from the belief I grew up with, it's like a disease which is not normal, like a curse also. Not really normal people have it, and people with that kind of disease are like isolated, or you shouldn't go beside those kind of people. So that's basically what I know about epilepsy.
The government of Cameroon is about to embark on an intensive health outreach program for victims of the dreaded epilepsy or fainting fit in Cameroon. Cameroon happens to be one of the African countries with a high prevalence rate of this dreaded disease. Christopher Fogwe welcomes such a move, especially within a context where victims of epilepsy are treated with disdain and stigmatized by their own compatriots.
Epilepsy is one of the medical disorders prevalent in Cameroon. It is a cause for concern which is rarely talked about, partly because people know very little about it, and partly because what some people say about it is usually shrouded in speculative and bizarre epithets. Victims of epilepsy are often subjected to highly disparaging stigmatization and disdain. To the extent that epilepsy is a mental disorder, many people unjustifiably regard epilepsy as being a certain form of madness. But then, what is epilepsy? Medical dictionaries define epilepsy as a medical disorder involving episodes of irregular electrical discharge in the brain and characterized by the periodic sudden loss or impairment of consciousness, often accompanied by convulsions. Medical experts admit that even though no cause for epilepsy is identified in more than 70% of cases of epilepsy, epilepsy may result from a head injury, stroke, brain tumor, genetic conditions, or severe infections like meningitis and encephalitis. Some 40 to 50 million people suffer from epilepsy worldwide, and the majority of cases are in developing countries. According to the World Health Organization, an estimated 2 million new cases are diagnosed each year globally. But then, why are people in developing countries such as Cameroon, where epilepsy is prevalent, so mystified and frightened by epilepsy, which is not even contagious? It is probably because of the dramatic and frightful spectacle of some of the seizures and convulsions that characterize the form of epilepsy that involves the whole brain and is referred to, perhaps pejoratively, as grand mal. The type of seizure is often signaled by an involuntary scream caused by contraction of the muscles that control breathing. As loss of consciousness sets in, the entire body is gripped by a jerking muscular contraction. The breathing stops and the back arches. Subsequently, alternate contractions and relaxations of the muscles throw the body into sometimes violent agitation, such that the person may be subject to serious injury. Unfortunately, there is no cure for epilepsy, but symptoms of the disorder may be treated with drugs or special diets. In some cases, surgery may be deployed. Drug therapy is the most common treatment. Seizures can be prevented or their frequency lessened in 80 to 85% of cases, by drugs known as anticonvulsants or antiepileptics. Recent news reports indicate that the Cameroon government, perhaps with support from some donor organizations, is about to embark on a program of drug therapy that will benefit many of our far-flung victims of epilepsy who probably have had no contact so far with our largely insufficient public health services. Hinterland victims of the disorder have for the most part been taken care of by denominational health care establishments and agents such as the Catholic, Presbyterian and Baptist hospitals and some of their caretakers that go out to meet their victims in villages and out-of-the-way enclaves.
He calls himself Dr. Nula and is a Bamenda-based tragedy practitioner. According to him, epilepsy is caused by witchcraft, arguing that nobody is born with epilepsy or fainting fit. Natural or unnatural, the interesting part is that Dr. Nula claims he has a cure. Get it in this interview. Dr. Nula, you be traditional healer where you use natural herbs for treat diseases like fainting sickness or epilepsy, pile, fungi, cancer, stroke, sexual weakness. Now, we'll talk particularly now about fainting sick when epilepsy. Which, according to you, is the cause?
Fainting sick, now, sick when patient get them, you want to find out, you go tell you say they not be born here with that sick. So at the back, people they when they get medicine for fainting sick. For some they know they spoil chop like mango, like pear, like guava, like corn. Okay, so this school picking they when they come back for school they hungry, they corn guava, they brook sugar cane, they harvest people their chop. Now from there they get that kind of sick they call fainting sick. Because people they condemn their chop. And fainting sickness, see, when patient get them, you want to find out, ask the patient very well. He go talk for you, say, they not be born here with that sick. They sick, they in the middle of you, when you don't enter some farm, or you don't call some mine whatever, people, they don't condemn their chop. So,
So you mean that say, when they born man, they need born with fainting sick. So, you mean say fainting sick, not be natural sick like any other sick.
Fainting sick, they're not the born man with fainting sick. It will be said if they don't born you, you don't pass somewhere else. You don't pass for some wrong place. You carry on for day. They know the born man with fainting sick.
Okay, so either they put them or they cause them for people them.
If you pass for wrong place, or you don't toss some man in chop, or you don't toss some man in guava, or mango, or some place where they don't condemn the place before if you carry fainting sick.
Okay, today Dr. Nora Itonga said people they get in a farm. Where they put medicine for these people you know can't tea farm. When picking the past taker now, they catch fainting fit. That now you talk.
Yes, and mostly now school picking that they longer for chop. When school picking that they come back for school, they don't hungry. Someone that they enter from guava tree. Someone that they go for sugarcane farm, and from there they carry some sick them where you know they're not supposed to carry, because the parents they don't condemn their chop them. I know fine for school picking that they longer they enter for people their farm. Now from there they carry that kind of bad sick them.
Now, yeah, fainting sick really, really bad sick. I know parents know they will like and see me begin get them, or when begin get them, in fact, they humble the whole family. Now, what you believe, this people they put this bad sick so people and so. But the thing I say, we say, it's plenty for community. How will we treat them?
This medicine would cook about four kinds of medicine, and for cook the medicine, not only for buy the ingredient. When you don't cook the first pot, the patient go drink, and the second pot, you go drink, and the third pot, you go drink, and the fourth pot now, you go destroy the poison, because fainting sickness on attack where it will woke up for a belly, it will holler, woo, 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 then foam they come up for a mouth, then it will fall down, it will knock your foot, then quack, 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 quack. It go sleep for some time before it woke up. If it take about four different kinds of 5 liter drinking medicine where you go destroy the poison. Then would beg the young people them, the school picking them, say may they know they enter farm them, because parent them they where they don't condemn their job. Now from there they carry bad sick them.
Now, Dr. Nula, you talk say now people that they spoil their chop, but we know say plenty feed it to a white man country. Now we feed the cost of white man country then too, because we for Black Africa for own society we believe say white man in no get which kind of medicine. Now we the cost plenty feed for white man country or their own plenty feed where the apple white man then it be different from what we and Black people then.
They only attack them when they don't pass for wrong place, because there's a wrong place. Some place then they where you're not supposed to pass for, the way you don't pass for wrong place, they attack you. Because when you want find fainting sick very well, you will discover say they don't bond the patient with the fainting sick. Most of the patients they grew up before fainting sick attack them. They never bond them with fainting sick. And it happened when you pass for wrong place.
And you talk about for one man country, they miss they get their own kind of team if they don't maybe chop some wrong chop or do some wrong team, if it cause them fainting fit for one man country, or one man country do the practice wish or black man medicine.
It always happen when you pass for wrong place, because when I was young, when I would go to school, I see farmer then where they condemn their chop with that medicine for fainting sick. And when you go there, even you take one eye granule for that farm, you don't already get the fainting sick. And you see people where they condemn their sugarcane farm, they condemn their mango tree, they condemn their guava. And when you go there, you just harvest some small guava, you don't carry that trouble.
Well, the interesting thing that say Dr. Nula, he talks say the cure fainting feet. Now, if you give you a contact for people the way they suffer for fainting feet, where they get problem with fainting feet, if you call you, so you help for guide them for treat their patients.
Yes, Dr. Nula contact at 6972642291. I repeat it again. 6972642291.
We did all our best to get a medical doctor specialized in epilepsy throw more light on this disease. Unfortunately, our target was so busy that we missed him. We promise to come back on that. The Security and Administrative Coordination Meeting for Mizam Division held on Thursday, October 22nd at the Council Chambers of the Bamenda 2 Council. Usually, during such meetings, all stakeholders charged with the hitch-free functioning of the division, from security and administrative heads to elected officials, civil society organizations, traditional and regional authorities, take stock and chart a better way forward, if at all. As Senior Divisional Officer for Mizam, Felix Ngelengele presided over the meeting. Security and insecurity, the state of roads in Bamenda, the water crisis came on focus. Listen to Felix Ngelengele.
Thank you for the opportunity given to me to talk of the security situation of the Mizam Division. Mizam Division is relatively calm. It is not an alarming situation. Everything is under control, and the meeting of today was to take stock of what has been done since our last CCO in Touba and what remains to be done for the months ahead to achieve the goals set for this annual fiscal annual year. So we will focus most in this meeting on what I called intelligence gathering. Experience have shown that for the security forces to be efficient, to fight against insecurity, they should be informed. So we will stress importance of intelligence gathering. So the outcome of today will be to put in place a network for intelligence gathering in the whole division. And traditional rulers and civil societies are part of that network. That is the main problems of the gathering of today. Yes, indeed, roads are a major cause of concern here in Mizam, mostly in the regional headquarters. It has been observed that the new road, the GRA road, the road that was constructed during the 50th anniversary of the army, is now being dilapidated. And instruction was given to the government delegate to see with the public works
how that road could be fixed so that we should not lose that very important structure which is beautifying our town. For the other roads here in Bamenda, I think the Bamenda City Council came out with a deliberation and they have decided that each year they will start 2 kilometers of roads per subdivisions. And the contract has been signed last year, and I think the company, it's a local company who is in charge of it. I will not name that company here for not to make publicity, but the company has to start work and we'll see to it that that work will start. I think when that contract will be executed, there will be a little improvement in the road network. As far as water is concerned, I think you were with me a few months ago on September when the Director General of Kamwata came here to launch the works for the construction of huge reservoirs in full storage facilities in all over the town, in Mankon, in Gwen, in Bambili, even in the university area. I think a Chinese company is already on construction site, in various construction sites. We think that by 2018, the problem of water will be past history here in Bamenda. There is also a lot of initiative from communities, from councils, Dongquan communities, led by their fund. They came out with a good water scheme, and they will take water from Banja to improve on the situation of water distribution in Dongquan. And even the Bamenda Tree Council has come out with a good project. They are funded by Japan, I think by a German company. They have constructed at Gwende huge installation for purification of water in Bamenda. I think in overall the road situation and even the water situation will be improved. It is a process.
The next day following that meeting, Felix Ngele Ngele, then senior divisional officer for MESAM, was appointed governor of the South Region of Cameroon. Frankness and hard work pays. Congratulations and the best in your new endeavors, Mr. Governor.
There are people who can walk away from you, and hear me when I tell you this. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. I don't want you to try to walk another person into staying with you, loving you, calling you, caring about you, coming to see you, staying attached to you. I mean hang up the phone. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. Your destiny is never tied to anybody that left. The Bible said that they came out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not for us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. People leave because they are not joined to you. And if they are not joined to you, you can't make them stay. Let them go. And it doesn't mean that they are a bad person. It just means that their part in the story is over. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over so that you don't keep trying to raise the dead. You've got to know when it's dead. You've got to know when it's over. Let me tell you something. I've got the gift of goodbye. It's the 10th spiritual gift. I believe in goodbye. It's not that I'm hateful. It's that I'm faithful. And I know whatever God means for me to have, He'll give it to me. And if it takes too much sweat, I don't need it. Stop begging people to stay. Let them go. If you're holding onto something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. If you're holding on to past hurts and pains, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help people who won't even try to help themselves, let it go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. If there is a particular situation that you are so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for you. Let it go. Get right, get left. Think about it and then let it go. The battle is the Lord's. Next, stop and think and appreciate God's power in your life for doing what you know is pleasing to Him. Yes, I love my God. He is my fountain of life and my Savior. He keeps me going day and night. Without Him, I am no one. But with Him, I can do everything. Christ is my strength. This is a simple test. If you love God and you are not ashamed of all the great things that He has done for you, send this to everyone you know. God loves you and watches over you every day.
This is News Extra on Foundation Radio FM 100. We are broadcasting in Bamenda, Cameroon. I am Mokun, Johnny Nelson, and Corinne. The word conventional may just be fast becoming a word of the past, because what was considered as suitable for women only, like hairdressing, cooking, nursing, and farming, just to name a few, is fast becoming hotcake for more men and boys who are excelling in these fields. Priscilla Ninge took interest in a 10-year-old boy, Tambang Randy, who at this tender age, and despite the fact that he is a boy, is excelling in hair plaiting and dressing.
It can be a surprise to many, myself inclusive, to realize that men can do hair and even do it better than women. Talk less of the surprise that not a man but a kid, 10 years old, can do hair, and is even a crowd puller who fosters his grandmother's and mother's plaiting business. Let's get the experience from the horse's own mouth.
So what's your name?
My name is Tambang Wanzi.
And you plait hair, you're a hairdresser?
Yes, I plait hair.
How old are you?
I am 10 years old.
At 10 years old, you can plait hair?
Yeah, I can plait hair.
How did that come about? How did you learn how to do that at such a young age?
No, just that as I was small, like when I reached class 3, I closed school, just rushed to the market. Then I was picking up what my grandmother was doing.
Okay. Did you like it?
Yeah, I really like it.
So you were not learning it because you had difficulties in school, but because you wanted to learn?
No, I was just learning that I want to learn, but now I can do it more better.
So do you think that's something that you would like to grow up in?
I like to do it, but I suppose my church is sad. I want to build ships.
Do you think hairdressing and plaiting is going to help you to achieve that dream?
Yes, it's going to achieve me. It's going to help me.
How?
Like when we walk in the market, they give the money, they can even buy my school needs, pay my school fees.
When you walk in the market, don't you get too tired to be able to study back at home?
No, it's at holidays. Always blood, so I am used to it. I don't get tired.
During school times, how do you manage?
No, when I am close from school, I go to the market. Well, we walk in the market before we go back to the house.
So, are you telling me that you are helping grandma to work in the market because you want to achieve your dreams of becoming an engineer?
Yes.
Apart from becoming an engineer, what are the things you've learned about hairdressing that really makes you like it?
Because it makes you look good. Yes.
I mean, you are the person who plaits. Do you enjoy what you do?
Yeah. Because most people admire me.
Did it come naturally or did you have to work so hard to be able to know how to plait?
No, it just came naturally. I didn't do any hard thing.
To other young boys, kids out there, 10-year-old boys, what are you telling them?
I can tell them to achieve something doing, to have something doing. They should not be hanging in the quarters and playing. They should go and learn something doing.
Just like you've learned hairdressing. So are you telling me that you are very convinced of the fact that you know the styles, the things that people will want and people will love?
Yes, I'm very convinced.
Once more, what will you play on me if I come?
I'll play Rasta.
Rasta? Okay, and what will you play on grandma?
I'll just go and finish the hair shirt. My mother was plaiting on her.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I hope you keep working hard. Do you intend to continue with plaiting and hairdressing as you continue with your education?
Yes.
All right. Make sure you get enough rest. Thank you.
Most often, people consider hair plaiting and dressing to be a woman's job, with little encouragement from parents to young boys and men to join a lucrative business. But Mama Florence Willer, grandmother to the 10-year-old boy, had no qualms about bringing her grandson into the business. She also tells us that she has never regretted it.
So, Mama, how is that? Today, you are picking for 10 years old, you know, have a plate. Well, I be talk say, now because time when you be still small, I de always go take it back for school. When I take it back for school, I de bring them for my workplace. Me and you, she don't only for day. As you see the picking, so I be tell you, say, you know, get your friends. Because when I de come on house, you de come on go school. When time for come back for school reach, I go take it, bring them for marketplace. Me and you should don't for day. When we don't close for market, we come direct for house. So all what you want to do for my marketplace, it is see them. I need to practice and for do them. Now where it don't do them to stay past even me where I don't teach you how for do them. Mama, you make a me be used to the work now because difficulties and day for pay school fees for even go school or why decide to make a me be used to?
I be just make and say me be used to because I no be even first like me the work I sell and how other picking the work I carry thing that they sell. I be just want me day closer to me. Now why that way I be decide say make it she don't only with me. Then he don't she don't with me now the learn weight way I do.
I see the plot, so when he come out school, can meet her the plot in a tire, tire go back.
No, when he the plot, even when he come back, when he don't come back chop, he start plot. When I close, me and you all would go house. When we go house, read for house, sometimes he read the book before he sleep. Then the next day, he come to go to school, meet her, they come back from market until time for close read, where I will go back, go take you for school, bring her. But if you don't reach time where he says if you come on school, he says work I come. When he close school, he just work I come, he says come meet me for place.
He did get enough time for doing homework.
Yes, he did get enough time to do your homework for house. When we don't read for house, now that time where they open your book. He did read.
Okay, but for you know things say 10-year-old picking over young for the do plating. Boy again.
Well, I don't get a choice. I I run your wool and leg part of my skin. Say make you do the work. Man no dey know tomorrow. Now where I dey see some boy dey work at the draw eye, dey do this all the kind thing. But my main problem for the pikin I say, I run talk say, say die take me where. You see, we never reach for some level. My own idea be na say, as me and you the struggle, as I the struggle, he too the struggle. He go in school, go reach for outside where, he fit for rich.
It might seem like a surprise to many to imagine that a 10-year-old boy does hair and even is a pull force that brings many customers. But the lesson to be learned is that hard work brings success, and that is not based on gender, but rather on the will to excel. And that education doesn't hamper you from being enterprising and encouraging to your family.
You could not have concluded any better, Priscilla Ninge. Interesting report there. The Minister of Sports and Physical Education, Pierre Ismael Bidungpat, made his first outing since his reappointment into that position last October 2nd to Bamenda. Known for his dynamism, he was in the Northwest region on October 23rd to preside over the 2015 convocation and graduation ceremony of the Northwest Regional National Institute of Youth and Sports, popularly known in its French language acronym as SENAGES. Atanga Atanasios was part of that ceremony at the Bamenda Congress Hall.
The last time he was in Bamenda was sometime early this year as the Minister of Youth and Civic Education to launch the Youth Week in Bafut Subdivision. But this time he was in Bamenda in a different and more preferred capacity as the Minister of Sport and Physical Education to preside over the graduation ceremony of the 8th and 9th batches of the National Youth and Sports Center, better known by its French acronym as SENAGES Bamenda. The above introduction could not suit any other state man apart from the newly appointed Minister of Sport and Physical Education, Ismael Bidungpat, who in his duty-conscious habit made his way into the Bamenda Congress Hall Friday 23rd October 2015, where the graduates of the 8th and 9th badges of that great institution were already seated in their beautiful robes. The results were made public, which indicated that 31 senior sport instructors sat for the exams organized by the Ministry of Vocational Training under the supervision of the Ministry of Sport and Physical Education, all passed scoring a percentage of 100%. There were also 28 sport instructors who all passed in the exams. There was the reading of the results and issuing of diplomas to the graduates, which invited endless applause from the parents, friends and well-wishers who came in their numbers to witness the once-in-a-lifetime occasion. Then came the turn of the choreographic display performed by the students, who drilled the huge crowd to stand as one and clap for the great performance. The students, using a typical traditional method, caused their august guests, voluntarily or not, to clap endlessly. The famous Richard Kings, in his usual stylish performance, made the graduation ceremony a one not to be forgotten in a haste. The Minister of Sport and Physical Education, Ismael Bidungpat, in his keynote address, asked for a minute of silence in honor of the souls of our compatriots who lost their lives in a stampede in Saudi Arabia.
With respect to perpetual death that is troubling our compatriots, victims of terrorist acts, and after the sad event which happened in Mecca, Saudi Arabia.
The minister called on the graduates not to lie on their laurels, but put what they have learned into use. He said they should be ambassadors of peace, not violence. The minister did not mince words when he said the government has created so many opportunities for sport instructors in the country. After receiving their diplomas and now ready for the job market, some of the graduates expressed their joy.
I'm called Mufo Dorian Kiampi, graduating from B1. I'm very happy. I've just received my diploma, so I'm very happy. And I'm ready to give out the knowledge that I've acquired in school to the public.
My name is Ndobo Matile. I'm a MEPS. And I'm very happy because this is a work that we have been done since 2 years ago, and today we have graduated. And I'm very happy. I hope that on the field everything will be going very good.
Thank you.
The graduation ceremony of St. Agnes Bamenda was attended by top dignitaries of the region, amongst which were the governor's representative in the person of Opsolo Muloa, the senior divisional officer for Mezam, the divisional officer for Bamenda II, and the secretary general at the Bamenda City Council.
Thank you very much, Atanga Atanasios. Lem Sandra Fomujang is checking our mailbox and shall be reading the letters therein after this transition. Leia Atam of Atwaziri is not happy with the noise pollution from mushrooming churches. That is in our first letter.
Hello, staff and listeners of Foundation Radio. I am delighted to write concerning what I see around me. Thus, a true church operates very close to bars and other very noisy and congested places. You will bear with me that so many churches are found so close to the roads and sharing same buildings with such places. What is happening? Is this the true doctrine of the church? And for those operating such churches, do they really know what they are doing? Well, I am even more concerned about those who worship in those churches. It's really a terrible situation.
I hope Leia Atam is not saying that a bar is satanic and so they can truly be bedfellows anyway. Juliet Achu of Upstation has this worry with the organization of extra classes.
Greetings to you all. I write because I frown bitterly at the way school children are treated, especially the primary 6 pupils and Form 5 and Upstate students. These children go to school every day as early as 7 a.m. and close at 5 p.m. A good number of them even get home when it's already dark due to the distance in many cases. I wonder if these children rest and have time for themselves. Worst of all, they go to school on Saturdays. I know they are preparing for end of year exams, but let them have some days of grace within the week, free of morning and evening classes. I feel for them and that's why I write.
Once upon a time, there was a drumming campaign against indecent dressing, but it was just as it could last. That is the worry of Leslie Kum in Kwen Bamenda.
Hi, and hope you all are doing great. I write specifically to these women who dress up so indecently and put on clothes that are meant for younger girls. Imagine an old woman with kids putting on a very short skirt and wearing a top that shows out her breast, not to talk of her hairstyle and lashes. What kind of example are we teaching the younger generation? These women are the very first to complain when they see a girl poorly dressed, forgetting she copied from them. Women are role models, and let them not forget their actions of today will eventually determine the actions of their children in future.
While it is also interesting to make up and make do our natural beauty, it should not be excessive. Email radio.foundation@yahoo.com, radio.foundation@yahoo.com. You can also call us or text us on the number 670-238-045 or 695-568-480, and be sure we shall be at your service. Foundation Radio is the voice of the voiceless. Now, let's visit the newsstands and see how colleagues of the print media treated news happenings during the week. A man on that beat is Atanga Atanasios.
Chronicle newspaper foresees another shake-up in the government, this time the turn of 4 regional governors, which the paper captions, "Bia to flush out 4 regional governors, Abaka Ahmad, Jaga Jews, Okala Bilai, Otto Wilson Joseph, According to the paper, another presidential decree appointing regional governors is expected soon. The decree will also affect senior divisional officers and divisional officers. Kumbu Water Authority crisis. Mayon Jong drags fund of sort to court. The paper reports that there has been a dramatic twist to the Kumbu Water Authority crisis at Donatus Njong. Lord Mayor of Kumbu had countersued the fund of sort to court. The Kumbu landlord banks on the premise that the Kumbu Council had been granted the right to manage water in Kumbu, not the palace. Storm in SDF as Northwest plagued with choice of apt leaders. Tussle between Honorable Njong and Mayor Tosam. The paper reports that less than a year to the elective regional conference to produce an executive to govern the opposition Social Democratic Front SDF in the Northwest region, there have been vibrations. According to Chronicle, Honorable Evaristo Njong, the present Northwest Provincial Chairman of the SDF, may not have it easy next year. Already, the name Tosam Bernard, Mayor of Belo, is being muted to succeed Honorable Njong. Implicitly, it may become an entire Boyo affair, given that both Honorable Njong and Mayor Tosam hail from Boyo. Resignations from CPTM reorganization commissions worry party hierarchy. Idi newspaper says, as the reorganization of the basic organs of the CPTM goes underway, some members of the commission set up by the party hierarchy to organize the exercise have been resigning, giving the party leadership sleepless night as they signal a trend towards dissension within party. The resignation of regional, divisional and subdivisional levels by some members of these commissions in order for them to be able to run for posts within the party, given the fact that instructions from the party hierarchy indicate that members of free organization commissions are not eligible to run simply because they can't be part and judge at the same time. Aden newspaper says the suspension of Afrique Media TV is putting the country's Minister of Communication, Issa Churuma Bakari, and the Vice President of the Media Watchdog, the National Communication Council of Cameroon, Peter Isoka, at dagger drawn. The media regulator suspended Afrique Media TV for a period of 1 month. According to the Minister of Communication, the media organ should go operational because the 1 month period has expired. Why Peter Isoka holds that Afrique Media was still airing during that period, which means the suspension had not been duly served. Truck crushes pregnant woman to death in Idinau. Idin newspaper reports this unfortunate incident where a truck loaded with gravel killed Mrs. Priska Wele Nange Epeye, teacher and bursar of Catholic school Idinau. She met her untimely and tragic death on her way back from school. The said woman was 3 months pregnant when the truck ran on her stomach, dividing her into two equal parts. That's what we had time for this week. On to next week for what the papers would have said.
Thanks to Philo Happy of the Edea newspaper and Jean-Paul Wafo newspaper vendor City Chemist Roundabout for providing the papers for review. Our special correspondent Francis Nguaniba is here again this week. In today's edition of his regular reflections, he takes a look at the corrosive messages from the ever-rising Pentecostal churches in Cameroon and around the globe.
Some news stories just always put a big smile on my face. Take this from news24zim.com, an online news portal in Robert Mugabe's Zimbabwe. Pastor sells holy pens that make students pass exams without studying. The same headline continued: the more you pay, the more you pass. The short and long of this story is that Pentecostal pastor prophet, now wait a minute, note the prophet in the guy's name, Prophet Sham Hongwe of the House of Grace International Church in Zimbabwe, raised eyebrows when he started selling pens to members of his congregation, claiming the pens were anointed. He was selling them primarily to students who were about to sit for their examinations. The pens cost anything from 15 US cents, that is about 100 francs CFA, to 20 US dollars, about 10,000 francs CFA. Yet the prophet, after selling his pens, it is anointed and I declare passes when your children sit for exams. The prophet was selling his anointed pens shortly before Zimbabwe students sat for their O and A level examinations. The interesting thing about the anointed pens is the more you spend on them, the more your chances of passing your exams. So more students bought the pens for $10 and above than the 15 cents cover price. One cheeky member of the congregation gave the classic testimony intended to get people to buy the anointed pens. He claimed to have scored an outstanding 14 points in his A-level exams a year earlier after he bought and used one of the pens. Stories like this do not only happen in Africa. Sorry if I use some strong words here, considering this is a family-friendly program. Parents, tell your kids to do something else now so that they stop listening to me. In early September this year, Pastor Sobrino Valdisi Pacanto in Brazil was arrested for raping his church members after convincing them his penis produced sacred milk. The pastor told his followers his penis was blessed with divine milk of the Holy Spirit and that when they perform oral sex on him, the Holy Spirit will visit his female followers through their mouths. The story gets more bizarre when the pastor claims he received his message to spread the holy word through the mouth when he encountered Jesus in a Brazilian brothel. Only God alone knows why a man of God met his only son in a brothel, a house of sin. Ouch! That was a mouthful, and a musical break at this point is just what we all need now. One person died and dozens were wounded on Wednesday this week at the Douala Omnisports Stadium when thousands of people turned up to listen to the Nigerian pastor Johnson Suleiman. The healing crusade had finished and the faithful were apparently attacked by armed robbers at about 1 a.m. Four people died in Accra, Ghana in May 2013 when thousands of people turned up to receive free holy water from Nigerian Pentecostal pastor T.B. Joshua. A total of 115 other people also died, most of them South African, following the collapse of one of the buildings used by T.B. Joshua's Synagogue Church of All Nations in Lagos, Nigeria. That was in September last year. Religion is the opium of the people, German philosopher and economist Karl Marx said in 1844, exactly 131 years ago. The economic crisis, massive unemployment, incurable diseases, and lots of other society problems push people to leave mainstream churches and other acceptable faces of religion to embrace Pentecostal faiths. These Pentecostal faiths are long on promises but short on delivery. Come to think of it, even in the so-called mainstream religions, there are still loads of issues. A close look at conflicts around the world today shows more than 90% are caused by religion. So if we all worship one God, pray to one God, honor one God, why are we all still killing each other in God's name?
Abominations in some of these churches, Francis Ngwaniba. What is on your mind? What is on the minds of some Cameroonians today? Cameroonians now express what's on their minds this week.
I said, what's in my mind that I need change in this country? And that change, the change I need is just that the old guns that have been in government should go away and give room for youngsters to, so that they could help us and then they bring some sort of rebirth in the country, so that at least youngsters could get something to help themselves, like myself that I'm suffering here, like my kids that I'm suffering. Because I don't see any reason why they should call only old guns and come and put them in the whole country. People around the 60s, 80s, meanwhile young graduates from schools, they are suffering on the streets. So I believe that if something can come new, at least that will interest me much. That's what is really aching me now.
What's on my mind is excitement. Excitement for having come across a library. A library is one of the equipment of learning in my life, which I respect very much, because I wrote an article titled The Product of the Library and the Product of the Academy, which concluded and settled on the conclusion that the product of the library is superior to the product of the academy. And that's why when I was invited to a motivational talk to youths, it was very surprising what I said to them, that they should go home, tell their parents that their parents have made a great mistake by sending them to school. That their parents should rather open their libraries, stock them, and they drop from school and start reading, because finally they won't regret. Finally, they won't, when they start reading in the libraries, finally they won't be running, taking files here and there, running here and there, looking for jobs. People will hunt for them.
What's on my mind now is the fact that my concours that I wrote have not been released, and the list of the university has not been posted, making me stay in the house and not going to school, and it's giving me a hard time because I don't know if I'm going to make it for the concours or not, because this is Cameroon. Concours are, you write a concours, you don't know what the result, even if you write, you think you wrote well, but that certain times that you just need to accept whatever comes. So the fact that my concours are not out are making me to be stressed up and a bit tense on how the outcome is going to be. That's what is on my mind.
What's in the minds of Cameroonians? And with that, we come to the end of this week's edition of News Extra. Same radio, Foundation Radio, same frequency, FM 100. And because our credo shall forever remain the voice of the voiceless, we promise that we shall be there same time next week, but for another edition of News Extra. If the lessons of history teach us anything, it is that nobody learns the lessons that history teaches us. I am yours, Mokun Johnny Nelson. Accept my blessed regards.